That's right. The Drive is live on a beautiful Monday. As you hear my man Clint Sterner right there, you hear and see Tyler Milner, however you're listening to us. Shout out to you all on YouTube and Twitch, please, as we continue to enjoy communicating with you via that route. Also, those of you on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610. We also enjoy communicating with you that way as well. So let's get this thing in, baby.
Ready? Let's ride.
Did you get attacked? Did you get some blood
that
today?
Ass.
Oh, yeah, I had to give a little blood.
You had to give a little blood today?
Yeah, that's right. That's where I was at, man. Luckily, they got me in and out. I thought I was going to bump up against traffic and all that. But I made it. Yes, sir. Give a little blood, man.
I'm a bad person when it comes to that. It always
this old gal. This old gal was beautiful. My Bellevue Urgent Care, I greatly appreciate you. She just slid that old thing in.
Never can find
needle,
my vein.
The needle, Tyler. The needle in my vein.
Thank you for clarifying.
They can never find my vein.
Well, let's get some sweat going. Get some veins popping a little bit.
Like, I get every time it is, like, I have been poked 9 times. Mm. When I went in, had my gallbladder removed.
Yeah.
And they had to put that. I mean, I was bruising all empty. I mean, it was. They have to try every tack. Probably fighting through some good fat, trying to get to that bad boy and get that sucker up. At one point, lady gave up, tried to go through my hand.
Yeah.
So good for you.
Nah, this old gal was great. She right in there, man, found that thing, and boy, she filled it up quick. I think I got some good blood. I think we'll find out.
There you go. What do you think? Do your thing. Way to give some blood there. All right.
I didn't give it.
Oh, you.
I just have some lab work.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I mean, to be clear, I wasn't donating. I just having a little lab work done.
Man, let's hope the lab works as good.
That's right.
let's hope the hell that is. All right. A lot to get to today. Coming up 4:40. We will head to West Palm Beach to our guy Sean Pendergast, and we'll get the latest. I know they had a rain out today, but we'll get the latest of what he's hearing, seeing out there.
Boy, they got a pad out there, don't they?
Do they? Did I did
saw Boy, y'all see that video?
I saw.
They got a nice pad out there.
Still, we still banging.
Come on, Sean.
Lazy boys like that?
Oh, I mean,
I
am.
Like a three-seater. You got a lazy boy in the crib?
I do not have one in my house. My young wife probably would not allow it, but
do you have a lazy boy? You want one?
No, I do not.
Yeah, I'm good on it.
If I was in West Palm Beach, I would be in that damn chair.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be in the chair. You like betcha. I'm not saying it's not a comfortable chair, but like
we got a solid chair and a half that's real comfy.
Like they had that lazy boy that we had that fake Diggs and them set on, and that was like, you know, that was cool. Pick your legs up. I don't want it in the house.
Yeah, I don't know that I want it in the house either, but I'm not a big fan of spending $2,000 on decorative chairs that you got to perch up on like a bird on a limb.
When did that go out? When did the lazy boy? Because I remember I had one in my loft in my bedroom that I just put right up.
I had one in my dorm.
When did lazy boys being in the living room go out?
I think when they started turning couches into essentially lazy boys on the end with the automatic legs kick out and
the
line and all that.
Yeah.
See, we have that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that
what are those called?
To me,
Mattress Mac special.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, but they call
sectional.
Sectional. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean that the couches that got that basically the end chairs, the end seats double for a recliner that you can just sit back. Yeah, I mean, I think that was the death of the true
they're
recliner.
They're so bulky. Like they're so big and bulky.
Take a lot of room, but boy, they are comfortable.
Yeah.
I ain't got a chair in the house I can sleep in. Not one chair.
No, I'm with you.
My couch ain't. I spent a bunch of money on a couch for my wife, and I'm like, baby, this thing is uncomfortable as hell.
I love our. We got.
Looks
like,
good though.
We went like the mid-century modern like couch look. I done fallen asleep on that bad boy a couple of times. And had to peel myself. Had to peel myself off that material on that thing. But that lazy boy you. That's one right there where you fool around, and you wake up in a lazy boy, and it's 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
You didn't slept your ass all the way out.
Absolutely.
Miss a good lady.
I'm not buying one, but if it was in if there was one in the Airbnb, I'd damn sure post up in it.
That's the move, fellas. Yeah, I know you always talk about trying to start a business idea. Can you get a sleek looking lazy? like a sleek looking Lazy Boy that is comfortable.
Yeah, can it be the same comfort, less body?
Yeah, less body and look. That's the move. And I'm telling you, boy, it's over. When you hit that click back, you kick them legs up, it is over. Yeah, shout out. Someone just said, I love my Lazy Boy. Still got it, huh?
Best Lazy Boy is at duck camp. When you get up early, for a guy like me, get up early, get all that crap on, get out in that freezing cold weather and hunt and do all that. Have a good time. Come back, just feed your stuff, your face, and breakfast. Boy, that lunchtime nap at duck camp in that Lazy Boy is unbelievable.
Yeah, that it is. Well, miss, just make them smaller. All right, but we will talk to Sean coming up 4:40, get his thoughts on what's going on, because there is a lot of nuggets, news to talk about. Lance spoke today. There's an injury thing, Mauricio Dubon, and potentially with him, that could mean other things. But I do want to start here, man, and this kind of came out Saturday, fellas, and I'd love to get everybody's thoughts on this. And that is, the Astros are rekindling their trade conversations with Nolan Arenado of the Cardinals. This is per Brian McTaggart, who covers the Astros, obviously, for MLB.com. But they're back in talks with him. Remember, there was a thought that maybe Houston was not the spot he wanted to go to. I believe it was Tyler who jumped in at one point, said he was from California, wanted to get closer to the West Coast. But now maybe that thought has changed when we see moves. We're getting closer and closer to, well, not closer, closer here. Spring training has started. There's already games being started. When you hear that, how would that move change your thoughts about the Astros this year? If they were to find a way to make a move, and by the way, everything I'm seeing, the trade probably includes a piece like a Mauricio Dubon, so that could be somebody that would be involved in that. But what does that look like? I'm looking at a potential lineup, Clint. Altuve, Paredes, Alvarez, Walker, Diaz, Arenado, then Pena, McCormick, and Myers. That feels different than whatever it would be if he wasn't there. How does that, if it does, change the Astros in your eyes if they were to make that happen?
Well, it makes me more confident, right, in the World Series window that I believe is still open. But I've got to do some hoping and praying that these pieces fall together. You add Arenado, and I think the confidence level for me just goes through the roof, because that lineup right there. I don't know that the potential is there when you had a Tucker in there. But if you really look at, especially playoff
potential to get strong,
Well, I mean, Tucker's future. I mean, you know what
you
we saw.
Feel like you're in look, well, his best year,
bro. What Tucker did up until in short span, up until he got injured last year, it looked like he was fixing to have.
He was going
to
be the MVP.
It was nasty. I mean, so the upside of Tucker, I'm not going to sit here and try to say that any of the there's a move that they can make that puts you in that same category. But when you start talking about adding Christian Walker to first base, and you start talking about adding Nolan Arenado, and you move Altuve to left field, so that solves some of your outfield issues. They're putting together a lineup that I think will be comparable to what they had last year. Again, especially if you look at the lack of production from a couple of guys in the playoffs and how they were still able to win some playoff games, not this year but last year, with that lineup the way it is. So I think this, the confidence goes through the roof. That lineup you just read off has the potential of being nasty.
Again, if you missed it, it looks like the Astros are having talks starting back up with Nolan Arenado, third baseman. He plays just as good a third base as Bregman does. He is, especially of this time, been the best defensive third baseman in the sport. Yep. And even as he's aged. Now, his numbers at the plate have dipped, right? Last year, he's at 16 homers for, 71 RBIs with St. Louis. Now, they weren't a great offense either in front of him, but he still hit over 270. And that, to me, is makes you feel a little bit better than whatever you were going to potentially have in there every day. And who knows, maybe he is better with other people around him and a stronger lineup. I just, for me, when I look at it, Clinton, and I look at that lineup of Altuve, Paredes, and then you slide him in the sixth spot, between Diaz and Pena, the lineup just feels longer. Feels like you have to depend less on some of the guys that you are nervous about. And at least now everybody in the lineup except for Myers have had, you know, strong success in the majors, right? Yeah. Everybody in the lineup is, you know, has been really good. Even Chaz 2 years ago was really, really good. We've seen, obviously, Pena, what he's done in the postseason. And it makes the Astros go from, hey, man, this is a team that I think is going to be there competing with teams like the Rangers in the West, to, yo, this is starting to shape up with a team that you can look at and say, yeah, I can see them challenging the Yankees. Yeah, I can see them challenging the other, you know, good teams in the AL. I think it brings them up a notch to me if they were to make that move.
Absolutely. 100%. I mean, the lineup, with the exception of the higher ceiling with Tucker, the lineup is very comparable to what you threw out there last year. You look at Bregman's numbers last year, they were slightly better than Arenado's, but they're comparable. You look at the Christian Walker, the upgrade at first base, that's a very short conversation.
You could almost say that's the bat.
Sure.
That equals Bregman.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's a way to shape this thing to where Nolan Arenado lengthens the lineup. Nolan Arenado actually would put you in a different category, as you said, in World Series, you know, competing for a World Series.
You're essentially looking at him instead of like DeZinzo or Dubon. Like you with those two guys in the lineup as opposed to him. And that to me is a really big difference.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. So I if they can get it done, I love the move.
I mean, you're talking about a guy that was an all-star in 23.
Yep.
I mean, he was a second team all MLB in 22. So he's not too far removed from being an all-star caliber player. And last year was not a slouch. You're still going to get quality at bats. I don't think it's as big as a gamble. I know there's still there's probably some PTSD with what we've experienced lately with older players, but I think this is this would be a different move.
Coming in on the Jim Adler Texas Hammer text line, Paredes could be the guy that is the person that could make a move up. Paredes could be the Tucker, like the hey, there's still more there to go up there. I can see that like Paredes could take a step up. I think Diaz is somebody that could take maybe another step forward, although he took his power numbers were down a bit from the previous year, but there could be some more area for growth for guys like Paredes and guys like Diaz and Chaz. Like Chaz can be absolutely, maybe he's not what he was 2 years ago, but he could be better than five homers.
Well, no question. There's no doubt. Last year was a rough look for Chaz. Hell, he lost his nickname. But when it's all said and done, you look at the big major everyday players that left the building in Bregman and Tucker.
Yep.
And you look at major everyday players that you're plugging in, and it's Paredes, Christian Walker, and potentially Nolan Arenado. You're getting closer to a wash. You're getting real close to a wash. And if you take into consideration what Tucker's done in the playoffs the last couple of years, I could feel pretty good about that pretty quick.
No, I'm with you on that. So, we'll continue to watch that. We'll continue to look at that because clearly, if they didn't get Bregman, they do have the ability to try to add to this team. They were going to try to. They have the ability to try to add to this team. By the way, yesterday, Spencer Arrighetti, I think is a big key to this team potentially. Could be the third starter. Could be one of those guys. He had his first start yesterday, 2 innings, 1 hit, no earned runs, 2 Ks, 3 walks, which obviously you understand, spring training, first start. But we were just talking about players that have a chance to grow. That's the thing is we watched Hunter Brown really grow from his first year starting to last year where he became a top-of-the-rotation cat. Spencer Arrighetti could really change this rotation in a big way if he takes that kind of step.
Ryan, you talk about a guy that if you could pick any Astro right now and like just them taking the next step, and measuring the value that that brings to this team, I think you're going to have a hard time finding somebody that would be bigger than Spencer Arrigetti. If he is better than he was last year, he's pretty damn good.
And he was coming on towards the end. If you look at his overall numbers, his start was, I think me and Tyler talked about, his start was shaky. Like, whoa, boy, maybe they made a mistake bringing him up too early. But his finish of the season, I remember we were sitting here having conversations like, should he get a postseason start? He is damn sure ahead of Verlander, you know, by the end of the season. So it was he was starting to figure things out.
Yeah, well, and you watch him. He's just nasty. He is absolutely filthy. He's got the stuff. It's just a matter of can he figure it all out and be more consistent, right? There was a couple of games last year where I think he felt like he was tipping pitches and just got blew up in early in games. You eliminate those kind of things from a season, and he's going to put some pretty good numbers up there. I don't know. I just look at it. Spencer Arrigetti's a guy to me who obviously it's one spring training. I don't want to make the mountain out of a molehill, but ultimately, if that guy and I'm not talking about something crazy where we're all just don't believe it could happen. If he just takes the next step in his maturity and his development, that'll mean more to the Astros than any other player, quote unquote, taking that next step. I mean, you can talk about Chaz returning to form. That would obviously be an impact. We've seen that before, right? You can talk about Jake Meyers doing something. I don't know. That is a long shot, right? Everybody else, you've seen some pretty good play from.
But if he takes a Hunter Brown-like step,
yes, indeed.
That means Framber, Brown, and Arrigetti. And we talked about that a little bit Friday when you were gone. That's a way that they can counteract that loss of guys like Tucker.
Oh, yeah.
Just you know to build up something stronger next year. Obviously, if they were able to bring in an Arenado, it would ease that. But that's a way. And Spencer Arrigetti, does he figure things out even more this year as he finished last year? All right, somebody that I think both of us we really feel like we like his opinions and his thought process that covers the NFL. Said something about Stephon Diggs and the Texans. We'll let you hear that, and we'll see if you agree, and we'll give our thoughts on that as well. That's coming up next.
Now, Kathy Bates, that's bad bitch right there.
I don't know how long.
Damn, okay. I'm serious. She is in everything.
But Kathy Bates.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Welcome in to The Drive on a cantankerous Monday. On a Monday here. Succulent Tuesday's coming up on a Monday here. The whole gang is back. We're fans of Marcus Spears. I know you worked with Marcus Spears a little bit. He's been on this show before, and he was on NFL Live, which is on daily, and he was talking about Stephon Diggs and how potentially important he would be for the Texans to bring him back. This is his comments and thoughts on that.
Marcus Spears, Houston doesn't have a ton of cap room. How much should they prioritize bringing back Diggs?
I think it should be a heavy priority. Tank Dell would have been that guy. Obviously, the injury history is something that you have to pay attention to. You also think about the way that Stephon Diggs plays the receiver position. A very, very coordinated wide receiver, understands routes, understands how to get in and out of breaks. And you couple that with CJ Stroud's ability to be a precision passer, I think it's a great combination. Obviously, we know Nico Collins is the number one guy on that football team, but to have a complimentary two, like a Stephon Diggs, who at one time we was in the conversation for being the best wide receiver in the NFL, I definitely think that they should explore it.
All right, you heard him there. He said, I believe, Tyler, a heavy priority.
Heavy.
Heavy priority to bring back Stephon Diggs. Those of you on the Jim Adler. The Texas Hammer text line.
Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer.
713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch. Where are you at on what Marcus Spears had to say there about Stephon Diggs? That it is a heavy priority to bring him back. Do you agree with that? Clint Sterner, do you agree with that? It's a heavy priority to bring him back.
No, I don't think it's a heavy priority to bring Diggs back. Now, I will be completely transparent. I have zero problems whatsoever if Diggs is a Houston Texan next year. I'm not concerned about Diggs. I don't think Diggs is a caliber player any longer, even if the reputation was true. The diva stuff that everybody talked about when he came here, I don't think he's that caliber player anymore to have that kind of power any way, shape, or form. So that doesn't concern me. I would not in any way, shape, or form be disappointed if he's here. Now, I don't believe he should be made a priority. I don't believe that he should be overpaid, if you will. I got to believe, Ron, that we're talking about a guy that's going to be, in the $20 million range. He had a 1-year, $22 million deal last year. Was very effective when he was healthy. It appears to me as a guy that probably overvalues himself. Most former great wide receivers do. And I just don't think that is the case. I think I would prefer the Texans go get a surefire, 2/3 somewhere in there caliber receiver, pay less for him, and then spend draft capital, top one or second round draft pick on a wide receiver, and have those guys compliment Nico Collins versus go out there and pay that kind of money. But priority, no thank you. In the mix, flip those stones, do your due diligence, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm with you. If they come down with the decision that he is the guy, that yeah, I'm with you, I understand it, that's fine. I would be surprised if anybody who would say it is him in particular a priority. I think the position is a priority. I think you're kind of in a similar boat. I think another wide receiver or two, that has to be one of the top priorities for this team. But I don't know that Diggs has to be the priority. It's just hard for me to think anybody would say, yeah, for the Texans right now, that Stephon Diggs, who will be 31 years old, coming off of an ACL injury, and in that, Marcus said, was in the running from being the best receiver in football. That we're well past that time, though. Like, we're not in that anymore. He's not the best receiver on his team. And it's not close. So that's why, to me, I don't know that it is a priority. Because when I think of priorities for this team, I think interior offensive lineman is an absolute priority on this team. I think go ahead and locking up and taking care of Derek Stingley is a priority for this team. I don't feel bringing back Stephon Diggs fits in those same categories. To me, is what I believe are priorities. So I think the position is, but no, I don't think he is actually a priority. Someone texted in, Diggs played 8 games with Diggs. They were 6-2. Without Diggs, they were 4-5.
Yeah, go a little deeper for me.
Yeah, there's a little something deeper. You can argue at times the offensive line was worse during the run that they were in against them. Right? I don't know. That to me, understand that stat, as you said, Clint, I don't know if that's enough for me to say it's a priority. He's a good player, and like you said, Clint, if they go through all of their due diligence on what they can do when it comes to the draft and free agency, and they come up with him, that's fine. But again, as I said, this will be a 31-year-old coming off of an ACL. You went to the same spot you were the year before without him. I wouldn't say necessary priority for him.
Yeah, it's a great point, Ron. And I know you made it earlier when we were talking about it. But I mean, as an organization, the Houston Texans, they are in the category of teams that can look up and say, "Look, we had this level of success with these guys on the football field, and." Not that guys aren't good players, but it may make more sense to couch money elsewhere than in a guy that, yes, it's a luxury, but your team still had the same level of production and wins from the previous year. So I think here's the deal with Diggs, though. Diggs had a team where he was still considered one of the top 5 receivers in the league, just completely turned turn their offensive play call in a different direction, and eventually when the season was over, push him out the door. And then you had a team in the Texans signing, and yes, he was good when he was on the field, no doubt about it, but he was clearly a two to Nico Collins, and this team still won football games with or without Stephon Diggs, and he got injured. Now you got that guy that a team gave up on and pushed out the door, a team that you go to and he blows his knee up, to now he's a free agent. And what is his value? If he and his agent are reasonable, and it's a reasonable number, I got no problem with it. I love the fit. But I just don't know that you're not going to look at that number and go, hey, man, we could probably spend that wisely somewhere
else. Right, like priority is we need a right guard or a center.
No question. Zero
doubt. That, I would say, priority. I just don't put Diggs in that same space.
If you're going to spend money like excessively or at, you know, that's at somebody's ceiling, right, it needs to be a guard or center or both.
Yeah. Now, I think you also believe the wide receiver position is a priority.
Sure, absolutely.
Just not him in particular. All right, coming up. If you are not alert on the Steve Smith situation, and I want to also say I feel bad for the basketball commentator, Steve Smith. Not that Steve Smith. That Steve Smith, probably people have been probably checking in maybe on his relationship on him. No, this is the football Steve Smith, not the basketball Steve Smith that's on NBA TV. No, that the other Steve Smith. If you haven't heard of that story and that situation, you need to stay right here because we need all hands on deck. This is a full drive discussion and conversation we need to get to the bottom of. That's next.
I just got the red carpet. We're wanting to get into a controversy.
Karam Injury Lawyers Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It's a great song right there, Tyler.
So fresh.
Glad you know Outkast and Sleepy Brown, baby.
I'm gonna get a bad reputation with comments like that. Just because I know who that lady was. I know who the hell Outkast is, man.
You're going to have to stop just referring to Erykah Badu as that lady.
That's it, Erykah Badu.
He didn't have it.
Erykah with a Y.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. She has fun with her name.
Actually changed.
Go check out her children's names. Those are funky.
There's something?
Yeah. I think one of them's name is Seven.
Huh.
The one that she has with Andre, I'm certain his name is Seven.
When Stranger Things, huh?
Well, I mean, I know you went and looked her up a little bit. If you go look at her and Andre and think about that combination of those two, it's a couple of different cats. I'll just say it like that. Coming together. and reproduce it. All right, all right, The Drive is live, and we need all hands on deck because I really wonder. And listen, there's no bad opinions here on this one. Everybody's got a fair opinion
on this one.
there are some bad opinions, but everybody's got one a fair one on this one. Those of you on the text line, the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, those of you on YouTube and Twitch, this Steve Smith situation went crazy. You know, I saw it. It had me on for a minute where basically this young man by the name of Tony Martinez, Aunt Martinez, he went ahead and I guess caught Steve Smith, the wide receiver who I bet you Steve Smith's probably thankful he didn't make the Hall of Fame this year. That'd have been an interesting ceremony with who would be there with him. But Steve Smith, the football player, Carolina Panthers, Baltimore Ravens, you see him on TV a lot, NFL Network. Speaking of Underdog, he does he has a show with James Palmer on Underdog. Apparently he was caught having an affair with Anthony Martinez's wife. And I'll let you hear Anthony Martinez addressing Steve Smith, because Anthony Martinez, he went for it, folks. He went all the way for it. He called Steve Smith recorded the conversation with Steve Smith. We'll let you hear that soon.
Oh my God.
And apparently, obviously, he had access to all of the messages that those two had, his wife and Steve.
All of them.
And he read them. And listen, I know Clint read them this morning. I know, Tyler, you read them. These are nasty, folks. There's no need to go earmuffs because I'm not even going to try to even unnasty them. They are just nasty as you can get. Anything nasty that you can think of, go a little further. And I mean, they are going back and forth.
It's been a while since I had to edit with this many sensor beeps.
Well, that's that thing. I mean, when I'm reading the messages they're sending back, I had to smoke a cigarette after. it was nasty. Now here, now Tyler will play this. Tyler, this is Tony Martinez calling and confronting Steve Smith.
Hey, yo, Steve.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Yeah, you're my wife, bro. What you gotta say for yourself?
I'm sorry.
You're sorry? I knew she was married. What kind of dumb shit was that? Why are you quiet, man? Be a fucking man. Steve, you ain't a fucking man, bro. All that shit you do on TV, all that shit talking you do to other people, now someone's got you on the phone, you can't even man up.
Tony went for it, didn't he? My man said, all that stuff you talk on TV, now you can't man up. There's a few things I want to hit.
I'm sorry.
What would Steve have done to meet Tony's man up qualifications there? Because he asked Steve, and Steve said, I'm sorry, which I believe infuriated Tony more.
I'm sorry.
But I'm just trying to figure out what would have been being a man about, like, what could Steve have done more to satisfy him, as Tony said, being a man? Because I
you're sorry.
Yeah, I don't know what Tony was expecting to get out of Steve in that scenario.
Steve answered it, said sorry, and hung on and let him get his spiel out.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I don't know what else he was supposed to say. Yeah, I did it.
I'll be honest with you. I think Steve, now obviously it's an awful situation to be in, and but I don't know how Steve didn't eventually just say, man, what do you want me to say? Like, I mean, caught red-handed, you got me.
So I got dick in the face, Craig.
What would you like for me to say?
Maybe that would have done it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else Steve could have said. So, I mean, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Let the conversation breathe a bit and then hang up. I mean, that sounds like, in hindsight,
Let the conversation breathe a little bit.
I mean, that sounds like the cleanest route to getting off the phone, I would imagine.
You're sorry?
I don't know what the hell what's Steve supposed to do in that situation.
From the text line, if he knew they were together, boy, that's low down. I think Steve knew.
You're sorry?
I also think she knew.
I hope she didn't have amnesia every time she walked out the door.
Look, it's the most powerful thing in the world, boys. Untied and undefeated.
Yeah, girl.
I mean, look, I feel for Aunt. I feel for Tony. I really do.
I'm sorry.
I couldn't imagine discovering the evidence. As you said, the text messages. I couldn't imagine. But I'm going to be honest with you, boys. I would be like, I don't want to necessarily run into old boy at the gas station or anything, because I'd probably do something that I shouldn't do.
If you were Tony, run into Steve.
If I was Tony and I ran into some old boy that was text messaging like that with my old lady after I caught him, the man in me would have to handle up. Somebody's going to get their ass whooped, whether it's me or him. Somebody's going to get whooped. I don't know who it is. I'm not trying to be tough. I'm just telling you, somebody's going to get whooped.
No way you couldn't confront it and do something without forcing a pop.
Can't see him and not do something I shouldn't do. Now, as I sit there and fume, as I'm finding this, I'm mad at one person only. Every bit of my anger is at one person. I mean, when you marry a gal, I mean, something attracted you to her immediately. Like, you were physically, mentally, you were attracted. Like, we can't be mad at dudes for being attracted to your old lady. You married a good-looking broad. The problem is she let him in. The problem is that gal you married is a real POS, and she let him in. And then she didn't. This wasn't no drunken mistake in Nashville.
You're sorry?
I guess I should say Charlotte, considering where, or maybe I should say Baltimore, because it all happened in Baltimore, right?
I imagine. This
is over and over and over making a conscious decision to disrespect your old man, the father of your kids. Yeah, that woman is a real, real, real POS.
Here's my other.
I don't know. I don't know that going at Steve is going to make you feel any better about
yeah,
it.
I probably would have reached out.
I just don't know what the end game is, right?
Hold on,
yeah, it's probably not the best move. I just want to talk to you. I probably would have reached out to you.
I'm sorry.
I just want to talk to you. I'd like to hear it all, but I...
Courtney, did you tell him?
The part that gets me is, and I talked to you all both about this before, is... If your aunt, and again, he handled it the way he did, are you putting all them nasty-ass messages out for everybody to see how nasty?
Hell no.
Because I'm thinking to myself, man, Aunt Dame, man, that's your wife getting down like that? Not to mention, he's ruined his son.
Yeah, that's
the kicker.
That's the kicker.
Oh, my God. His son's going to have to deal with, damn, listen to what your mama say, huh?
If I were single, I mean, if I'm not single. If we didn't have kids,
I wouldn't
do it either way, but I wouldn't have a problem with Aunt doing it if you didn't have kids. Now, you got kids involved, and everybody's going to read that about the kid's mama from now on. Yeah, that's tough.
I'm with Tyler. Said, I don't want them to read that at the hands of, damn, man, your girl was getting down like this.
Yeah, dude, you do not do that.
Hey, and again, I am not going to read these off or even try to even hide any of them. But they are things that you don't want other people to know your lady is talking to some other dude about.
Graphic.
I mean, well, real nasty.
I don't know. Like, the crazy thing, guys, is like, I don't know what world, in my single life, it was all goes, baby.
I know it's all goes.
And when she's single, it's all like, but there's certain things that, like, once you get married, like, there ain't no way, shape, or form to even couch that as being cool or acceptable.
There's nothing like,
I don't know, man. That's wild to me. Like, once you get out of that single life and you get out of them streets, like, there ain't nothing cool about that.
I couldn't have reposted that, Doug. I couldn't have reposted that. And I know you said it earlier. Like, he said, you have messed up my life. I'm about to ruin yours, and I'm about to let everybody in the world know, and I'm gonna let our son know.
Yeah.
I'm gonna let you.
Steve's happily married with them kids too, or was happily married with kid with about five kids.
I'm not putting that out there. Yeah, some people are texting in some of these messages. Yep, that one you just texted in 74. Nah, man, I don't want the world to see. Yeah, man, I don't need Dirty Red, not just you, but I mean my father. Damn, son, that's what
you married?
That's what she said.
Oh no, hell no.
Rearranging it? That's what you said?
Oh man.
Oh man.
Yeah, just let that be.
I hurt for Ant, man.
No, I do. And that's why, for me, I said it to the fellas in the cross talk. Like, I see a lot of people getting down on how Anthony's handled it. Again, as I said, I wouldn't handle it. I'd have had the phone number, and when I first found out, like in that first 2 hour period, like I'm probably at a 15, and I got the phone number. I probably go.
Well, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm a sick individual. I'd want to know details.
Oh yeah, I'd be going.
Hey, how'd this go down, man?
I want to know all from him. Look,
she's bad. I try to get at her twice, two, three times a week on the regular, man. I get it, man. I get it. How'd this go down?
I want to get a breakdown of it.
She out there cleat chasing, man. How'd this go down?
See if he's okay.
Not that it matters because I'm done with her ass anyway.
She get run through? Who else got there?
Was the whole team? Was every Baltimore Raven? Got a hit list about 20 guys deep in there?
Yeah. Who else was on it? Marshall Yonda.
Boy, that'd be rough. Marshall Yonda.
No offense,
Big Marsh.
You tell me right now. Did Joe get in there? You tell me right now.
Oh, Big Flacco.
Did Joe Flacco get in? Just tell me right now what you said.
Ooh, golly. Were they passing her around the locker room?
Who else on that Ravens team would be?
Golly, Ant, I feel for you,
man. Yeah, that's a tough one. No, I'm with you. Who else? Was she cleat chasing?
Not that it matters, because I mean, at that point, right, at that point, I'm done. I'm done. And I'm just, I got zero give a rip.
You tell me right now, was it Helodinata?
Did T Suggs get after it?
That's it. You tell me right now.
Did Big Suggs get after it?
I swear to God, if Henry got in there, I got to know. Was it at least Hall of Famers?
If Ray Lewis got in there, let me know. I'm going to leave his name off the list.
If it was Hall of Famers, I'm good with it. All right. If it was
the showman,
I've been Todd Heap. All right, coming up, Clint. We heard about the coaching staff, and I want to get from you. You've been in the game. You've been around teams and see how this thing goes. The coaching staff has now been announced for the Texans. What does this mean surrounding this offense for next year and the history of it? We'll discuss that coming up.